Hello.
Hi, Jacob. We are good to go.
Alrighty.
All right. So let's start with your year of graduation, including that was spring, summer, fall that you finished up, and your major or majors.
Okay. It was spring of 2021, and my major was music business, focusing in entrepreneurship.
Awesome. And what was your principal instrument?
My principal was drums.
Cool. All right. We will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
So currently, I'm working at an influencer agency out in New York, and it's called Billion Dollar Boy. And I'm an account executive there. And what we do is we are the middlemen between like big companies as like Dove or like Stitch Fix or like Ulta, and we find them the influencers, and so we do all the influencer campaigns. So my role is to find the influencers for them and make sure that the influencer content that they make matches the campaign that they're trying to do, and is trying to match their brand ethos and what their brand's trying to portray and what they're trying to push, and also the product they're trying to push.
Sure. Billion Dollar Boy, can you tell us a little bit like how big a company is Billion Dollar Boy? Like how many employees?
Right now, so the company's based out of England, and we have about 150 people, but majority of them are in England, and in the stateside, we have about 35 to 40.
Okay, cool. And you say that they're, it's a little like an artist management company, but for influencers, are these, are these generally people on TikTok, or is it other?
TikTok, Instagram, and then also we dabble with YouTube a little bit too, but the majority of TikTok and Instagram is what we look at.
Gotcha. And how many followers does someone have to be considered an influencer by you all?
It depends on what we're going for, because we have different programs. So for like a big brand, it depends per brand. Some brands, the minimum they're looking for is about 25,000. And some brands have been looking for is 100,000, just depending. And then we also have a thing called Content House, where like you just make content for the Instagram pages and not where the influencer posts the video themselves. So for Content House, we look for more about like 5,000 to 10,000 about, like at the minimum.
Okay, got it. And you said, can you give me your job title again?
Account executive.
Account executive. So that sounds like you're the person who's in contact. Are you in contact with influencers, with the brands, or both?
Both. But I'm mostly working with the influencers, but I'm also in contact with the brand as well.
And when you're in contact with influencers, let's say, do you have your regular pool of influencers you reach out to, or are you sort of reaching out to new people, finding and recruiting?
A mixture of both. Like, as you keep working in the industry, as you keep growing, you have your go-tos for different brands, different companies, and you really work with not just the influencers, but also the managers. So you talk to the managers and you build a rapport there, but then also you find new influencers as well that match what you're looking for. So it's a mixture of both. You have like your go-tos that you know are going to do well. Then you have your up-and-comers that you're trying to find to spice it up or to have a little different, little change, depending on what the brand is, because they all have different requirements and different brandings and different people and things they're looking for. But yeah, so it's a mixture of both.
And I guess I'll try to think of the right way to phrase it. Does your company, like at the end of the day, are you sort of working for the influencers, or are you working for the brands?
Working for the brands, mm-hmm. but also trying to help the influencers, because our company is very influencer focused, but also, you know, like obviously the brands are the ones that are paying, so that's where we get our money from. But we also want to make the influencer, you know, like we want to have influencer have the right tools, the proper opportunities and everything like that to kind of be their own creative way. So we're working for the brands, but we are in the influencer's mind, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And so I don't ask people exactly what they're paid, other than, you know, there was that cutoff to do these interviews. But I am curious about the structure of your pay. Like, okay. Are you salaried? Are you all commission? Is it some of each? Is it, you know, how's it shake out?
We're salaried. And yeah, so it's salary and base. That's how, salary.
I was going to say, do you have a quota, or is it just like you work and they see you working and you win some, you lose some?
Exactly. You work, they see you working, you win some, you lose some. There's no quota or minimum that they require of us. It's just, we're such a small team that we're still building out, like our like commission and stuff like that, and like how that will look and how it could be in the future. Because like we have, like, I will give example, like we have like really big budgets of like 3 or 4 or 5 million. And it's a team of like 4 or 5 people working on it. So it's everyone's working on all projects essentially, kind of. That's how it kind of is. So like we're still small and we're still growing. So we're still like building out like our structure, but yeah.
Gotcha. So hey, can you sort of take us through what a typical work day looks like for you? By the way, do you work from home, office, or Little Beach?
It's hybrid. So I work two days a week in office, and then the other three are at home.
Very nice. Yeah, so could you take through maybe an office day, kind of hour by hour, like in the work day, what it is you're doing?
Yeah, so in the morning, I'm usually checking in on emails and checking in on influencers, making sure that, one, they didn't post anything they weren't supposed to post, two, that they have all the information that they need, three, see if they have any questions or concerns or any worries or comments. I'm also looking for, like, when I'm following campaigns, looking for different, I'll look for, like, you know, like, if what they have to do, and like keep up with and check in with them, and also looking at what the brand wants. We talk with the brand about twice a week, essentially talking about like what we're trying to do, what we're trying to get done, and updates with like what the influencer is doing. So that's like usually in the morning, checking on that, and then about some morning for like a few hours, and then throughout the middle of the day, I would be, one, looking at finding casting for influencers, depending on the day, because it's always changing. Sometimes, sure, I'm casting for influencers in the beginning of the campaign. Then once we find influencers and we have a campaign going, we have we usually have to find like 10 or 15 people. So like once we get like those solidified, then it's usually like following up with them and making sure they're doing all the correct content, make sure they're posting everything properly, make sure that all their ideas are right, and all of their drafts match what the brand is looking for and match like what the brand is asking for. And also what I'm doing is I'm talking with my coworkers, you know, and like making sure that I'm hitting the quotas, or make sure that, like, you know, like we're all doing everything we need to do. And like sometimes, you know, like pivoting, helping whenever I need, wherever I can help out, usually during the middle of the day. So it depends. So I could be casting one day, or I mean, also.
Sorry, what do you mean by casting? You define it for the ignorant, myself included.
Okay, casting as in, so when you cast, it's when you're, so like, let's say Dove comes to our brand, our company, like, hey, like, we want to do an influencer campaign for 3 months with 10 influencers. So what we would do is, the first step is we would have to cast about, like, make a long list, so just a list of, like, 40 influencers that they can go through, and they would then decide 10 of those influencers to use. So when I say casting, it's like I'm looking for influencers to submit to them that I think they would like, that I think they would choose. And that's what casting would be. So in the beginning, so the process would be, you go from casting, so you do casting a long list, to then they, so then the brand would decide on a short list, which is just like the top like 20 of the 40. And then from there, they will go down to, we would reach out to those 20, and the 10 that would make the most sense within the budget that they're giving us, we would then work with them and go to the next stage, which would be briefing. So we brief them on what the campaign is. Then after we brief them on the campaign, then that's when we would do the contracting, and we would make sure the contracts are right. And then we would also get the content together and tell them like what type of content they need to make, and then have them start doing the drafts, however many videos or stories that they have to do. So it goes casting to long list, to then the short list, to then negotiation, which then goes to the campaign, which would be the content being put out by them. So it would be like checking the content, making sure the content's right, making sure that they aren't posting anything that's not correct, making sure that like everything from drafts, from drafts to the creation of the video to post-creation of the video, just everything smooth. It represents the brand well, so represents Dove well. And then after that, after you do however long the campaign is, then we go into the payment structure, which would be giving their W-2s and getting the invoices and filing all of those and make sure they get paid. And then also at the end of the campaign, every campaign at the end, we do a reporting where we would take all the data from the organic. So there's also organic and paid. So brands would use like organic usage would be like organic views. So just when they post up, however many they naturally get, and paid is like paid media is when like the brands put money behind the videos to push to a certain audience that they're looking for. So when we go in to do the reporting, we pull the organic data and we essentially tell a story from the data on what went well, what didn't go well, what we would recommend to do for next campaigns and how we can improve, and what, you know, like who was the strongest people, who weren't the strongest people, who do we recommend to work with for the future, who do we not recommend to work with in the future. And then that's the cycle. So then it goes from that. So we make graphs and we make a chart. We have like a data team that does all the data, pulls everything like that, and we do like offer recommendations. So then that's the cycle. So then my day's changing, because in the beginning it would be I'm casting in the beginning or I'd be negotiating. I could also be being in two different situations for two different brands, because we're an agency, so we have different brands clients we're working with. So I could be in the casting stage for Dove while in the negotiation stage for like Ulta. That would be like the differences. So like my day is always changing, every hour is changing, but sure. I kind of like I set it up in what's most important. So like what deadlines I need to meet the closest, and that's where I kind of go backwards in my day. So in the beginning I'll be like, all right, Grace, I need to get this done. So when I get that done, then do the next task. But yeah, that's like a typical day. It's always changing, and that's what's fun about it, because
let me actually. To rephrase the question fully, because that was the next thing I was going to ask, is that, you know, what are the criteria to hit and to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So yeah, you go into it. What is it about being an account executive in the social media space that you enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, it's so much fun, because it's like, one, I get to work with different companies and have different experiences with each company, because each company has their own like brand and own ethos and own story that I like to get into and like to figure out and feel. But also too, on the side, right now, currently, I also have my own clothing brand that I've started. So when I started in Berkeley, so I started it in 2015. Started in 2018. 2019 was like officially launched. But so it's cool, and I can tell you a little bit about that brand. It's the Enforce Clothing, and we're a brand based on collaboration. We're about pushing unity through community, letting people know that they're not alone and don't need to be alone in order to achieve the goals they want to achieve. And so, yeah, like, I mean, for that, for my my personal brand, I've sold at Essence Fest already and also BravoCon, which is pretty cool. And so it's great for my main job, as in the influencing is great, because it really gives me an inside view on how different brands really build their influencing marketing campaigns and how they use them and how they achieve their goals and like how they tweak their things. So that's what's cool. So I'm like learning a lot in many different aspects and ways. It's super cool, because I get to work with influencers, I get to talk to them, I get to really build something from beginning to end, which is cool. Which I also like. I like going from the process from scratch, nothing, to like making the whole campaign work and making everything flow and having like the design ideas for the influencers, making sure it matches what the brand's looking for, and then seeing the final product is great. So the whole process is fun for me.
That's wonderful. By the way, a billion dollar boy, are you sort of a general agency for the social media space, or are you like the grooming product team, or you know what I'm asking? Like, do you all take all comers, or have you sort of ended up in a certain niche within the
space? It's all comers. It's just whoever needs influencing work. But And recently, as we've been growing, we're getting bigger clients. So we're able to, you know, at first we're at the point where we take whatever we're getting, but now we're able to kind of strategically place and strategically pick the brands that we're working with because we're getting a lot of good publicity. I mean, because like for the past 3 years, we've been on the AdSense up fastest growing companies in marketing space, influencer marketing space. Okay. And so like we've been growing very quickly. And so, yeah, so, like, it's influencer work and it's, like, whatever. So, like, example, like right now I have three clients I'm working with, which is SK-II, and they're a beauty brand. And then I'm also working with a Dove Men Plus Care, which is hair and deodorants. Then I'm also working with O-Farm, which is, like, baby products. So it's, like, it's a wide variety and wide cast of different things and different stuff that we work with, different brands and companies. So it's just, like, whoever really makes sense and makes the most and what's like cool and what like, you know, like what will keep us going is what we look for. But yeah,
so
we look
and for it sounds like you're doing within that, you're doing some of everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. So, all right. Oh, and in terms of your clothing, you said it's Uniforce clothing. Is that correct?
Inforce.
Inforce.
Yeah. Inforce.
Inforce clothing. Awesome. But I always love hearing about entrepreneurial efforts. Do you want to talk a little about that? Like you said, you've been at a couple festivals. Like, how do you actually get the clothing made and what sort of volume we're talking here?
Okay. So, I mean, essentially right now, currently what I'm doing is I'm doing a drop shipping. But also I'm doing a mixture of drop shipping and also manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So because I'm trying to save space and be more proactive on inventory, I'm doing drop shipping where it's made per order. Okay. So every order that you make is when the garment is made. But I'm doing about maybe like 25 to 30 units a month currently.
Okay.
It's just been pretty cool because it's like I've been able to sell at BravoCon, which is a convention for Bravo TV, where like all of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, like all the housewives go there, all the different Bravo celebrities go there, and all the Bravo TV celebrities go there. And actually, last year I was featured on The Real Housewives of Potomac. One of the actresses, Gisele Bryant, wore my sweatsuit on TV. Episode. And then another person from Winterhouse, his name is Jason Cameron, he wore my sweatsuit on TV this year, which is pretty cool. And so I'm really able to like kind of capitalize on that. And then I was also last summer able to sell at Essence Fest as a vendor, which is cool. And I was able to, you know, because like I was, so essentially like I had to apply for the full opportunities and really sell my brand. And my brand's based on community. I'm about pushing community, having people understand that they need to build a team in order to achieve the goals they want to achieve. I'm trying to teach people and show people how to grow a team and how to find a team. I'm trying to like build a community of people together. Because I've realized, especially when I was at Berkeley, one of the things I realized is that like a lot of people feel the pressure to do it alone and that they don't realize that like if you build like a team is important in order to really achieve the goals we want to achieve. And like supporting each other is super important and getting and moving along and doing and getting where you know, and like really like getting your goals and achieving your goals. And so like community is super important. And I realized that because talking to a lot of people felt like they had to do it alone or they saw, because when I was in college, like Chance Rapp was very, very popular and he was all about independence. And a lot of people felt like they could do it on their own, but they didn't realize like that Chance had a team behind him. And so I'm really trying to push like community and growing together. And our motto is love's not just a word, it's a lifestyle. And yeah, I'm trying to bring the New Orleans motto of family and support to the world. And that's my goal.
All right. That's awesome. Well, let's take it back to your time at Berkeley. You know, 2021 or 20 when you graduated. I'm guessing you weren't thinking influencer manager, but I could be wrong.
no, I was not.
So, like, put us in your headspace. It sounds like your clothing company sort of already got going, or, you know, you're starting to work at that, but, like, was in your headspace as things were wrapping up at Berkeley, and then we'll take you one step at a time from there to where you are now, both what you were doing and also, like, where you were at mentally. Oh, one other thing. If you feel like your story has a logical starting point before 2021, we can start earlier.
Okay. Yeah, I'll start from 2019. Because in 2019 is when I released my brand, and that's also when I was hosting events in Boston. So I was hosting, like, small, like, parties in Boston, that for, like, Berkeley people, just to bring people together and bring community together. And so I started that in the fall of 2019. And by the spring of 2020, it's grown to it was pretty big, where I was getting about, like, 200 to 300 people attending the events, like, per event. And that's when COVID hit. And so by the time COVID hit in early 2020, I really had to figure out and pivot with what I was doing with Enforce, and kind of go from more of, like, event space to a market, to, like, online marketing space, and, like, really focus that way. So I was doing college online in New Orleans, trying to figure stuff out. And my mom, actually, she was trying to help me, like, you know, get right. And she sent me a master's program in New York from Parsons School of Music about, like it's called, it was a fashion management. And it's like, so look for fashion managers, just for, like, people in the future trying to build the future of fashion, where you would go through all of the different pieces and parts of like owning, of having a company. So it'd be one, you'd learn about the manufacturing, you learn about like electronic and design and product design, you learn about brand marketing, you learn about social media, you just every aspect, every piece and part of a brand that you would need to know, like own, like having your own business, but also to gives you the opportunity to kind of find what alleyway you want to go down. And so I was like, great, they look good. So I decided to apply, but I applied for two things, because I also was a producer, and, like, I have, like, a few songs out, but I produced and I was looking to go into production. So I also applied to Berkeley's, New York production masters. Cool. And it was only two. So I was like, if I get either one, then that means that's what I'm supposed to focus on for the next, like, 5-6 years. And that's where I'm supposed to go in my life. And they're both in New York. And so I applied. And I applied the spring of – or the fall of 2020. And I got waitlisted for the Parsons Masters. And I did not get the Production Masters. So from, you know, like, waitlist is obviously, it's not bad, but it's not great, because you don't know if you're going to get it. So I was going through just, you know, trying and hoping, and that summer, because, like, when I graduated Berkeley, it was like, it was during the pandemic. So it was kind of hard, because when I was doing the parties and stuff like that for Enforce, like, that's what was really growing my company. And I was really growing very quickly. And that was going to be my route of going down, like, just keep doing parties and keep getting publicity that way and kind of growing it that way. But when COVID happened, it took all that away. So I'd really start from scratch again. And so I was really trying to find things to do. So, like, what I did that summer was I worked at Banana Republic. And I was just trying to figure out, like, I guess, like, by, because I haven't heard back, because I got waitlisted in February of 2021. I kept emailing them. And by, like, June, I didn't hear back. And they're like, you're still on the wait list, but you probably won't, you know, like, we don't know when you'll get off or if you get off. So I was really, like, in the space. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to keep staying, because I was back home in New Orleans. So I was going to keep staying there and keep doing what I'm doing and try and find opportunity. And then come August, it's like the second week of August, and I get an email and they say, hey, you've got pulled off the wait list. And can you be in New York next week? Because that's when classes started. So and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I wonder if
all your emailing them helped kick you to the top of the wait list. They're like, yeah, I guess really so.
You know, because I was very proactive, and I talked to my mom all the time, my dad all the time about it. I was like, what should I do? And they're like, look, just keep emailing them, because they're like, even if you, you know, like, you don't get it, you'll always be on top of mind, because you're the one that's always proactive and showing that you really, really want to be in the program, that you really want to, you know, like, you really want to be a part of what they're trying to do. And it worked out. So then that was a very hectic week, because I had to figure out what I was going to do in order to get get to New York in a week for classes that start. So it was me debating if I should stay in an apartment or stay on campus. And eventually, the easiest thing was me for just go and be on campus. And so that was a very, very, very beneficial year, because it was a 3-semester program. So it was the fall, winter, and fall, spring, and summer. And essentially, they taught me how to build a company, how to build a clothing brand from beginning to end, because Berkeley really gave me the understanding of how to build a, like, entrepreneurial understanding of, like, business, right? It's like, okay, cool. Like, you know, like, I know, like, what, I need to make a business plan, and I have, like, these certain things I have to hit, and, like, you know, like, and, like, how to really, like, build an idea and bring it to fruition. But it was more focused in music. So really getting, because, like, I tell everyone, like, when you're an entrepreneur and, like, when you're doing business, like, business is all the same. It's just when you go to different, like, the basics of business is all the same no matter what industry you're in. The only difference is the nuances of the industry. So you can literally start a business in, like, let's say, like, music business, and you do, like, a record label, something like that. And if you transition to fashion, as long as you learn what the intricacies of fashion is and really understand the history of fashion, then it would be an easier transition than it would be, like, you know, like, the basics are always going to be the same. It just depends on what industry you're in and the information you need to learn.
Sure. By the way, quick, very side question. Are your folks from New York, or did I hear New Orleans or somewhere?
Yeah, from New Orleans. Yeah, I'm born and raised from New Orleans.
Gotcha.
And my parents are born and raised from New Orleans. They've been there for a long time. Like, it's like we have my whole family's basically in Louisiana.
Right.
So my family really hasn't really left Louisiana. And yeah, so born and raised from New Orleans.
Cool. Just mainly curious as to whether New York meant going home for you or going to get a new city.
Oh no. Yeah, no. So I had to travel from New Orleans all the way to New York in a week. Which was very hectic. And it was very, very crazy. But, you know, it was a great time, because I was really able to learn, like, all the intricacies of the fashion industry. And the cool thing about my master's is that it's a master's in it's a master's in professional studies. And what that is, it means that all of your so one, you're working, and I had all night classes, but two, all of the teachers and the professors are actively in the industry working. So, right. So that's what's the specialty about the master's program, about master's in professional studies, is all the teachers are professionals and they're all actively working. So I had one of my teachers, he was like one of the CTO, like a very high up in the clothing brand UNTUCKit, or another one of my teachers, she used to work for Kate Spade globally, doing different, like, working around the world for different, like, she was doing, like, a lot of different, she was doing a lot of different, like, things, like, working, like philanthropy, essentially. But, like, what philanthropists go to, like, the donations, stuff like that, and, like, kind of building that for Kate Spade, but around the world.
Wow.
Essentially. And so, yeah, so, like, it was super cool. I got to meet a lot of different people, because they're from all over the world. And I was gain a lot of mentors. I mean, while I was in my master's program, we had to do an internship. So when I was here, at the end of my Berkeley career, I took a class with Jackadine. Ralph Jackadine, yep. And one of the things he had us do was reach out to three people that we want to be in the industry that we want to go into and just cold email them to get us used to like cold emailing people and just ask them for an interview. And so there's a brand that I really love since I was like 15. It's called Ten Deep. It's like a streetwear brand that's super cool. And so what I did was I reached out to the manager, to the owner and founder of that brand, and I got the interview. And so he lived in New York. So what I did was when I got the opportunity, because that was in May of 2021. So then in the fall, when I moved out there, I was like, well, if I'm going to go into fashion, I'm going to be in the clothing brand. I want to have like, you know, like get like a and get an internship and like find people to like work with and stuff like that. I might as well reach out to them. So I reached out to them and I got the internship at Ten Deep, which is also cool, too, because it was just me and the owner. This is us two. That's it. And so that's really when I started getting into influencer marketing, because there I was interning as a social media coordinator. So I was the one like following, watching his Instagram, watching the Twitter, and making sure like responding to DMs. And I was doing a lot of like promotional pulls for like influencers. So like I would be like taking the product that they wanted and shipping it to them. Or like if a blog wanted to do a photo shoot with the brand and they wanted some clothes, I would be the one to do all the pulls. So I like pull the clothes and ship it to them, make sure that they get what they need and get it back. And so that's really where like I got like a part of the introduction to it. And then in my master's program, I also took, there was a social media class, and we really went over like the different pieces of social media and like how, like what influencer marketing is and what, like how to really like use the social media to grow your company and grow your brand. And so those, and coupled with those two, really got me interested in influencer marketing. And so, yeah, so when I was ready to leave and when I graduated and I was looking for a job, I was looking at a lot of social media opportunities. And, yeah, I went to – it's actually funny because, like, you know, everyone says your net worth is your network is your net worth.
Uh-huh.
And so one of my friends that I've been going to school with since I was, like, a child, like, young, she just moved to New York. And I haven't seen her in a while. So I was like, hey, like, let's get some coffee. So I got coffee with her and I was talking with her and I was talking like what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. And then she was like, oh, yeah, my sister, she's working at an influence agency called Billion Dollar Boy. And she's actually looking for a male account executive because they need someone to hire now. So I think you should apply. And I looked into them. I applied. And the rest is history.
And that's why you like sent your resume to the friend's sister who turned it in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I sent it to my friend's sister. I had a meeting with her, talk with her, you know, and made. So essentially, like how it usually works, is you send your resume to the recruiter or the head of people, and then they would send you to the person that's hiring. But mm-hmm. It kind of goes backwards because I had the interview with the person that was hiring before I had the interview with the hiring manager. And so, you know, so like, and that's like what's super cool about it, right? And that's one of the big things I learned at Berkeley too, is like, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know like what they're going to be, where they are. So it's always about, you know, like, it's always like being friendly, being kind and being nice to everyone that you're speaking to and just building genuine connections, because it's like, you don't know where those could lead. You don't know how they could help you in the end. And it's always great, you know? And so like that really gave me the understanding of like network is your net worth. And that's really what had me say build teams and like really want to push Inforce even harder, because it's like some people don't, you know, like you don't really understand it until you see it. And I'm trying to show everyone that like, I'm trying to bring like-minded people around to where they can understand that like, look, like you can do what you want to do. You can be what you want to be. You just see like, and like, here's how you can like find communities, like find people to grow with each other and all those things. And so, yeah. And so that's how I got into influencer marketing.
So it sounds, it sounds like, cause it's not 100% marketing your own fashion brand, but it seemed like you were looking for a job, ready to make some money. It was at least fairly close to what you studied and would give you valuable skills. Is that sort of, does that accurately represent why you decided to apply? Cause you know, you met someone, but there's one thing about hearing about a job, but there's another thing to actually say, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like my whole, how I approach my corporate career is by going through and finding my strengths and my weaknesses, and whatever I feel like I need more help in is what I would focus in and trying to get more understanding of. So at that point in my career, I was looking for influencer marketing or like social media marketing, because that's what I wanted to really kind of understand, how brands really, like, you know, how brands are able to market themselves and how they're able to make sure everything, you know, like how they're able to really build their brands through social media. And so when she told me about the job, about the agency, I was like, it's perfect because I can work with different brands, have different ways and different views of working, and see how they're able to achieve their goals and really like what, who they're marketing to, how they want to market, like why their product is so good and like how they really market the way that they do. And so it's a really, it's a huge learning opportunity for me to see how different brands work. And yeah, so that's like every, all my, that's all I focus on is learning. Well, what can I learn from this job? What can I learn from this position? How can I grow and continue to become a better person and become a better, you know, just become a well-rounded person and well-rounded individual. So I look at, so that's how I kind of like decided upon influencer marketing, because it's an agency and I can work with so many different brands, have different opportunities and different, and speak to different people.
Yeah, that's great. All right, let's move on to the third part of the interview. And I'll preface this next question by saying there's no right or wrong answer. So these days, like, you know, last part of 2023 into 2024, what, if anything, has been your relationship with music?
So these days I've been playing and doing a lot of like small like gigs in New York. Or doing like, so I've like played a few shows in New York, also produced as well. So I'm making beats and stuff and sending them to people. And like really like recording music, recording songs. But my main way of staying connected to music is through Enforce. I host events, and those events are live music incorporated. And so one of my main things for Enforce is called Unity Through Community, and their events where I'm bringing different artists and different like creatives back to the city or the neighborhood that they're from to bring a space of community to kind of have people come together, have like-minded and grow and like understand and give back and like really like speak on how they got to where they are. And one of the main differences and main additions that I do is live music. And so like that's one of my, cause that's what I mean. So I would set up like, it'd be like a 3-day experience where there'd be live music and there'd be all the different senses, and you really do, it'd really be a lot of immersive retailing. But the main thing, that the main focus is music, right? Because music really drives how you're feeling. It drives what you're going through. It drives, you know, like it brings people together. Music is one of the only things that brings people together, and the easiest thing, because everyone can understand music. And I'm from New Orleans, so music is very heavily ingrained in our culture. And so I'm trying to bring that culture to the world. And also, you know, and music's beautiful. So, like, that's how I've been doing. So I've been doing events there. I've also been doing some small like, shows here and there with, like, my friends, is helping people play and stuff like that. And, yeah.
Can I be a little crass with the next question?
Yeah.
I'm trying to just figure out which category to put you in. Because I have two categories. One is called casual and the other called semi-professional. Mm-hmm. And the way I sort of put the cutoff between the two is if through somebody's music they've made at least $1,000 in the last year, I call them semi-pro. So, okay. You know what I mean? Like, because some people are doing a bunch of music, but it's like a friend's thing, you know, it's not about the money, which is totally fine. And other times it's like paid gigs. Which category should I put you in?
Semi-professional.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah, because I've had some cool opportunities. Like last summer I did a show in Nantucket for I played for the main donor for Berkeley, and I played with a few of my friends for their for his daughter's like birthday party that I did. And yeah, so it's like super cool. And I've done a few shows in New York playing at some like a few like small shows. And yeah. So
that's wonderful. Okay, so next question I have for you is, so you have a master's degree. People no doubt come to their master's professional studies from all different backgrounds. And same thing, influencer marketing, right? People come from all different backgrounds. You even said a lot of the business is the same. But let's say relative to if you'd had a different background, is there anything, beyond it being a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
I would say it prepared me for all of the ups and downs of life. Because especially at Berkeley and being with a lot of talented musicians, you go through the mental battle of, one, thinking if you're good enough, to like trying to figure, like, you go through the ups and downs of like, okay, I am good enough to be here, but I need to practice to get better. And then, like, you know, and like going through the shows, performing, and like we're like talking with people and like understanding different viewpoints, stuff like that. So I think like the ebbs and flows of life really, it was one of the degrees that really helped me, but also the entrepreneurial sector in the music business program was very beneficial to help prepare me for a lot of different things outside of music. It gave me a lot of understanding, like doing the econ class and also taking your stats class really helped like prepare me for, you know, like looking at like being up, like example, like what I do now with reporting. I'm using stats and understanding and being able to read the stats and understand what they're saying. So a lot of the music business aspect of things really, really portrays and really comes through. And also like the ebbs and flows and being able to even like being able to like to talk with certain different types of people, different backgrounds from different places, really understanding like where they're coming from. Also, because Berkeley is very diverse in that way and they have like a very high international crowd. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. I learned a lot. Like it really helped me, like it prepared me for life. It prepared me because like even though I'm in the fashion industry, it's still kind of similar to the music industry in terms of like its ebbs and flows, its ups and downs. You know, like you still have to, you know, like you have to do your own things, you have to push hard. And you really have to like make your own way in order to get to the beginning, you know, like get the entrance into everything. And so, yeah, so like it's a creative field, you know. And so like just being creative and really helping me grow my creative side was really what helped me at Berkeley. And that's why I would say it really prepared me.
That's wonderful. So, hey, let's turn that question around now. Because Berkeley gives that one degree, the Bachelor's of Music, and you went there knowing that, and you've been doing great. It's amazing to hear. But all that said, is there anything where you look back at your Berkeley education and you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this when I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't. Is there anything missing or incomplete in your education?
I would say for me, no, but talking with a lot of my friends, especially the ones that are like performing and the ones that are like traveling and touring, I would say one thing that I do know that they always talk about is like kind of preparing the students and the performers for like the real world, like scenarios, like actually being on tour and like what it takes and like the, you know, like sometimes they would be like, it's very cutthroat in the real world. And it's like sometimes they felt like Berkeley, the teachers would be a little more lenient towards students, which is like it's understandable, right? Because it's like you don't want to like crush the student's soul, right? Which I understand. But like it's just like it's like just a very huge, steep learning curve. That's the difference. And that's what I would say, because like talking about people that went on tour, like doing like huge tours with different huge artists, they're like the main difference was just like if you come straight out of college going on tour, you're gonna be woken up into like a real world situation, and like where like it's like very, very, very cutthroat, and it's not like Berkeley, it's not like college, but I mean life's like that too, you know. So like that's how it always is. But I would say like they're definitely would be a opportunity to kind of give a feeling of that, like, you know, like the more real world scenario for like performance and stuff like that and tours and stuff like that, that I think would be very beneficial. But I mean, because for me, like when I did BPMI, it gave me that kind of experience. So I kind of like understood it and kind of like felt that and knew about it. But not everyone gets the opportunity to do BPMI, you know, not everyone gets those opportunities to kind of have that sick structure and setup. So yeah, that's what I would say.
BPMI, Berklee Popular Music
Institute. Music Institute. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, next question I have for you is, you know, you, I mean, you were even on this path with, let's say you had your own clothing brand and then you sort of kept that as your North Star as life threw you a couple curveballs, but you, you know, sort of kept pursuing that and you've ended up so far in a great place. Not everyone has found that path. And there's a lot of students kind of staring out into the world, wondering what's going to happen after Berklee. For either both of those groups, what advice do you have?
I would say, you know, keep pushing and keep going forward and keep trying your hardest at everything you're doing. I would also say, like, make sure to really use and understand the people around you, where you're at currently. Because, like, one of the biggest things that – the one of the biggest takeaways that I've had, especially from Berklee, is just the, you know, the amount of people that are doing cool things in the world. And amount of people that, you know, like I was able to get a lot of different opportunities just from the people that I've met at Berklee. And I know like it gets hard at some points, right? Because you feel like you're in the middle and you're stuck. And a lot of the times, like how I got out of my ruts or how I got out of my positions was just talking with people and kind of seeing like just like in being inspired by others. And I would say just keep going forward. Don't give up and don't quit. Just because you fall off the horse once doesn't mean you can't get back up and ride again. You know, I one of my favorite things is like to fail forward. Don't be afraid to fail. Failure can be a great way of growth and understanding. And everybody fails. Also, too, I would say don't feel pressured to be so successful so quickly. Like just because you see all these 25, 26, 27 people that are super successful, they are more of the unnormal than the normal. Everyone is going through struggles. Everyone is in a midlife crisis. Everyone is trying to find their way and find their path. So don't feel like you're alone and don't feel like you're the only one that is struggling because you're not, even though it might not seem like it. I said just keep pushing and keep going forward and you know, don't be afraid to fail is what I would say. That's one of the biggest things. And take chances and take risks as much as you can, especially while you're, you know, especially when you're in the younger stages because you only have a certain amount of – you have like – you know, like your 20s is the time where you can take opportunity and still if you fail, you can keep and change and pivot a lot more. As you get older, it's harder to do it. So just take as many opportunities as you can, take as many chances, and also like fail forward and don't be afraid of failure.
That's wonderful, Jacob. We're going to zoom in a little bit because, you know, as I mentioned, I think you're something like my 238th interview, plus or minus two. And not one's listed all 238. But anyone who's made it this far is going to, you know, has probably figured out, okay, you're, you know, an account executive at an influencer manager company. You know, that's sort of interesting. So for someone who is interested in working, let's say either in that sort of social media space or even maybe in the, you know, fashion space, do you have any specific advice for them?
I would say if you're looking to go in the social media marketing space, definitely use the opportunities to market the cap shows and all the different shows that are happening in the city and for the school as an advantage. I know in New York, I mean, in Boston at Berklee, one of the things that I did was I was focused on marketing. So when I marketed for a lot for all my parties and stuff like that, my thing like that, that got me publicity for people to be able to market their shows and show marketing campaigns for their shows and like really build and like get people. And so I was able to use that experience in order to help bolster my resume to get the job that I am now. So I would say if you're looking for marketing, you're looking for marketing opportunities, definitely look at all the different shows and how to get into the marketing space and marketing place of that and definitely like help people market their cab shows, help people market their small shows that they're doing, like at Wally's and stuff like that. Like just really like be in that space and really like have people know that that's what they're interested in. And also too, I would say, if you're trying to do the fashion, just go and like you're right next to. You have so many different schools you can go and talk to and experience and stuff like that. And just go out there and kind of like do your research. And like for me, like when I knew I wanted to do fashion, I just did a lot of outside research online of like how to do fashion, how to start a clothing brand, like what, like how to build a brand. And did a lot of research. And I really did a lot like YouTube, Google really helped me a lot too. But at the end of the day, it's like, just go and do it. Don't be afraid to do it. Just because you're at a music school doesn't mean you can't do anything else. You know, don't let people or don't let the space environment you're in now affect how you see yourself in the future. You know, like if you want to go into fashion, go and do it, like try it, like push forward and just do it. Don't be afraid and don't be scared. That's what I would say. Just go and do it because there's no time like tomorrow, you know, and like you might not even see tomorrow, you know. So it's about like if you want to go do it, want to experience it, just go ahead and take that leap and take that faith, because at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, you still have 40, 50 years to pivot and find something else, you know, and like you can always ever, it's always ever changing, can always do. And you also have a talent because you're at Berklee for a reason, right? So your music is your talent. So you have something you can always fall back on that you can always do and always achieve and always push forward, that can always bring you money and always, you know, like keep yourself afloat. So just take the opportunities you can and don't be afraid to take that leap. Don't be afraid to try everything that you want. Like talk to different people, like try different things. Like don't be afraid. Don't box yourself, essentially, is what I would say.
That's great. I just got one last question for you, Jacob, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's it. It's been a great few years after Berklee. I would say, like, definitely COVID was definitely a change for me and a change for everyone in the world. But I would say Berklee was a very, very, very beneficial and very – and I really enjoyed my time at Berklee, and I'm really thankful for being at Berklee and meeting the people I met there and really learning from the teachers and everything. And it was very beneficial, and I would do it again 10 times out of 10, no questions asked.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Thank you so much for taking the time, Jacob. I really enjoyed the conversation, catch up. It's always great when I hear, you know, former student of mine who, yeah, I remember, you had quite the energy back then, and that you've just gone and done so well for yourself. It's always, you know, always makes me happy seeing stuff like that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for taking the time to interview. And thanks for taking time to do this, because this is definitely super beneficial. And I know, like, a lot of people at Berklee that want to do other things, go outside and do other things, might not have the, you know, might be a little scared because they're at Berklee and they think they can't do it, or they think that their music, they have to stick to music. So this is great, and thanks.
All right, thanks a lot. Well, have a great evening, and best of luck to you this year.
You as well. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, bye.